The return of Travis Etienne. Run, Travis, run. I'll tell you the significance of it in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for joining us here on Locked On Jaguars. I am Tony Wiggins, the host of Locked On Jaguars Daily Podcast, where it's your team every day, Monday through Friday. And we thank you for making us your first listen and reminding you that we're free on all platforms, wherever you get your podcast. Please like and subscribe on the YouTube page as well. Travis Etienne. I said the return of Travis Etienne, and that's a little bit misleading because we've actually never seen him play in a real game here in Jacksonville. But I mean return in terms of what our expectations are and what we base those expectations on, which is his performance in college and his skill set. He's a running back. He is not an offensive weapon. Technically, everyone who plays offense that touches the ball from a skill position perspective is a weapon. He is a running back. He will line up in the backfield most of the time. And if he does end up lining out wide, it's something that anybody would do as a running back. However, he does have a certain skill set. He has a certain skill set that I find to be intriguing, especially if he's back to being himself that he was in college after having a Liz Frank injury last year. So far, so good. I'm hearing that he's running. He's moving around. He's cutting. And he says that he wouldn't even know he had a rod in his foot if he didn't know that he had a rod in his foot. What does that mean for Jacksonville? Well, first you have to go back and find out what the running back situation has meant in the type of offense that Doug Peterson's going to employ. You can look back at the Super Bowl where he used a three-headed monster of LeGarrette Blount, Clement, as well as Jay Ajayi. It worked really, really well because at some point they were gashing the New England Patriots for yards, the Philadelphia Eagles were. It just shows you that he's willing to use the versatility of that position group to its fullest extent in order to benefit. But I even went back further. I went back further and studied the Eagles under Andy Reid when Doug Peterson was there on staff. In fact, so was defensive coordinator Mike Caldwell. And what I found over watching them over the years is they didn't just take a running back and fit that running back into their system. What they did was, because they didn't treat them all the same. I remember the Eagles had Deuce Staley. They didn't treat Deuce Staley like they did the guy that I'm going to mention, who Travis Etienne reminds me of and how he's going to be used. They used running backs for power. They used running backs to catch passes. They used running backs in the flat. They used them on reverses. They ran wheel routes. And more importantly, the screen game. They have the West Coast offense, period, has always been one that the screen, the ability to throw screens and use screens in your offense has always been one of those bright spots. Even with KC, they still do it a lot with their running backs. Green Bay, they do it a lot with their running backs. There was one guy who was really, really good at that, man, over the years. And to me, it was Bryant Westbrook. Bryant Westbrook, from a body type standpoint, as he got older and when he started to get a little thicker, but he still had his quickness, that's who Travis Etienne reminds me of, and I've been trying to figure out for the life of me his comparison. I couldn't do it last year because I didn't know what they were running, but now that I understand, and plus they had him listed as a weapon and lining up at wide receiver, right? Bryant Westbrook is the schematic comp as well as the body type comp for what I hope we're going to see with Doug Peterson using Travis Etienne at running back, but being able to get him lined up into the slot a little bit. I expect to see a lot of draws, sprint draws, screens, double screens. Donovan McNabb, think about how many times you saw McNabb go fake one way and come back another. They did a triple screen before. I've seen him fake the quick out, come back, act like he's going to throw a screen one way, and then he throws it back the other way, and all of the defense has committed to him. And now you got this train, this locomotive-type line of blockers out in front of this running back, and all you can do is just pray for those little 190-pound defensive backs because they're about to get steamrolled, and that thing was probably going for a touchdown. That's the type of stuff that I expect and anticipate Doug Peterson does with a healthy Travis Etienne. I know I'm optimistic, but if he's healthy, he's running. Going back to look at him at Clemson, think about the game, the semifinal game they played against Ohio State, the year Clemson actually went to the championship game and they lost to LSU. On one of those drives at the end of the game when they really needed to score, they let him touch the ball twice and he chewed up most of the field. That's what you're going to be able to get with a healthy Travis Etienne, and it'll be enhanced, if you will, by the way that Doug Peterson traditionally has called his offense. I'm not going to forget about Travis's running mate because I think it's also important that we get a healthy James Robinson back. It doesn't matter to me who starts the game as long as both of them can finish the season, which they did not do last year. But I'm going to talk about James Robinson and what his use could mean for this offense as well. Even though we're focusing a lot today anyway, we're focusing a lot on Travis Etienne. Every running back needs a partner. You need a little bit of a buddy. Like, so Zeke has Robert Pollard, Zeke has Tony Pollard in Dallas to help him out. And some of these other teams, Joe Mixon has LaMichael Perine, who had some big plays in the playoffs for the Bengals. Sony Michel really, really helped out Cam Akers last year, especially from an injury standpoint when he went down. You need more than one running back. So I think it's important that we take a look at what those two guys look like together. And then in segment three, I'll talk about Josh Lambeau briefly with his lawsuit against the Jaguars and why it's actually a good thing for Jacksonville that he files this lawsuit. I'll do all that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars in just a second. I want to tell you about Built Bar. Listen, man. Built Bar is the absolute truth. Summer is coming, and with summer, you're going to need some food on the go, something that you can take with you that won't get all chalky, melty, and waxy. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on a family vacation. Throw them in your bags, and your kids or even your husband or wife, they get hungry. You don't have to keep making those pit stops along the highway. You can just eat that Built Bar and keep it on moving. Because it's covered with 100% chocolate, you have a bar, and then you also have the Built Puffs, which are the protein-infused marshmallows that's also covered with 100% chocolate. Only 140 calories. That's right. That's the key. The key is you have this wonderful snack that's 100% chocolate, and it only has 140 calories, 4 net carbs, and 4 grams of sugar, and about 17 grams of protein. What you need to do is go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Once again, use the promo code LOCKED15 and 15% off will come to you at built.com. All right, man, we're going to roll along here on a Wednesday. It is hump day. I'm just reminding you guys also that the Locked On NFL show that I do on Wednesdays is also available on the Locked On NFL YouTube page as well as wherever you get your podcast. Me and James Rapine had some shenanigans going on, man, and I think you guys will enjoy that. Make sure you enjoy it Monday through Friday, every single day on the Locked On Podcast Network. Also, we're going to get into the lawsuit in segment three, a $3.5 million lawsuit where Josh Lambeau is seeking damages. He's seeking damages for what transpired with him, with Urban Meyer as the head coach. And we've talked about that. We'll talk a little bit about that, why it's probably good for Jacksonville in segment three. But right now we're talking running backs. We're talking Travis Etienne and how schematically it's a match made in heaven for Doug Peterson. And I know I used a comp of Bryant Westbrook and how he was used in Philly over a decade ago, but still I stand by that. And I stand on that. I really, really do believe that that's the type of way you want to use Travis Etienne. Lots of screens, wheel routes, little short crossers, shallow crossers across the middle where he can be one-on-one and break tackles with those linebackers. Draw plays. And, of course, your standard regular sweeps and power plays as well. I don't think there's anything he can't do. I just imagine him with Trevor and some sprint draws from when Trevor is underneath center, or some delayed snaps, the RPOs with Trevor and Travis working together, guys who are familiar with each other, obviously, from their playing days at Clemson. But we can't sleep on James Robinson, especially if he gets healed up and he's able to make it back before game five or game six or whenever. It can be a real good change of pace. I talked about the championship game, the Super Bowl, when Philly played against New England. And if you go back and look at it, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about with how those guys were used, how those running backs were used. And it was really something to behold, man. They had Clement score. Clement caught a long ball. LeGarrette Blount broke off a couple of long runs. Jay Ajayi was banging guys on the second level in that game, and I think it really set the tone and allowed them to control the ball enough for them to make a comeback at the end of the game. So big time usage of the running back by Doug Peterson, and I think that that's something you're going to see here as well. It also, that's why the Snoop Connor pick, it makes a lot of sense, and we get it and we dig it, because you can't have too many people. And it has a little bit of, they all, even though they weigh about the same, I think last year Robinson was like 218 at 5'9". Etienne is like 5'11", maybe 210, 215. Snoop Connor's, from what I saw now, it looked like he was 5'10", 5'11", about 215, 220. So what it does is gives him a lot of versatility. I think Connor's more of a straight ahead guy. Your wiggle guy is Travis Etienne, and your space guy, rather. And then James Robinson can be used as a little bit of both if he's back healthy too, because he is known for a guy who can really cut on the dime and has great vision and always has a great body lean where he's always leaning forward. So that keeps the sticks moving in your favor whenever that happens. But I do believe that one of the good things that you can do is go back and watch Philly. Now, you don't have to just watch the Super Bowl game. You can watch the hotly contested NFC Championship game. You can go back and watch the playoff run as a whole. And it'll give you a little bit of an idea of the way Doug Peterson likes to move and the way he likes to think. One thing that I noticed from all of those games is whoever the hot guy was, that's who they went with. The other thing is you can tell that there was a lot of adjustment based on the individual talents of those players, as opposed to just trying to take a player and stick him into a spot where he may or may not fit. I really like the approach that it seems to me that what they're doing is, they're just taking the best people and figuring out how to use the best people. That's really what the Rams have done. The Rams did it. I think Von Miller, I once heard talking about it with the coach they had out there, Coach Phillips, Wade. That Wade would just – his philosophy was, look, if a guy is a two-gapper, we two-gap. If a guy is better at lining up over the center, we line up at center. If a guy's a three technique, we find a way to three technique, even when it's on a front where you're not used to those guys actually doing those things from a responsibility standpoint. And that's what I like. And I think too many times here, what you've had is you've had, like even last year when ETN was picked, they said they wanted speed and a weapon. So they went and picked a guy who was a speed slash weapon guy. And I always thought none of that made sense. I like getting the speed and I like getting the talent, but I never made sense that you had this idea of how you wanted to use a guy, as opposed to just taking a dude and letting your idea come from who that person is as a player. And that's why I go back beyond the Super Bowl and I go all the way back to the Andy Reid Eagles, because for me, that's what I see Travis Etienne doing. I see him being a guy sort of like Bryant Westbrook and used in that manner. But he's going to need a running mate, and that's why I'm also happy that they have James Roberts. All right, I'm going to talk a little bit about, as much as I know anyway, about the Josh Lambeau situation, where Josh Lambeau has filed a lawsuit, as was reported by the Tampa Bay newspaper, I believe it's called the Tampa Bay Times, that Josh Lambeau is suing the Jacksonville Jaguars for some workplace stuff for like $3.5 million. And it's all about Urban Meyer. It's all about losing money. It's all about the way Urban Meyer treated him while he was still here. We'll discuss all of that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. All right, man, rolling along here on Locked On Jaguars on a Wednesday. To take you back just a little bit, Josh Lambeau was the kicker here in Jacksonville when Urban Meyer was the head coach. Josh Lambeau had an injured leg. Allegedly in practice, Urban Meyer walked past him and kicked him. Just for housekeeping, I'm going to let you know that Urban has denied it. General counsel, the team counsel knew about it and all of this stuff. And we had heard rumblings that there were some players that couldn't stand him. And once this news broke out last year, Lambeau did an interview in Tampa and he talked about Urban Meyer. This is right. I think it was might have been a day or two before Urban was actually fired. Now, if I revamp this correctly, if I'm thinking back, Shah Khan said that basically that didn't have anything to do with him firing Urban, that it was already in the works. But if you guys recall the way Urban used to lie to the media, he talked about Lambeau. He said Lambeau was the best special teams guy he's ever seen. He talked about Lambeau in positive ways, that he's working real hard. And remember, they actually kept Josh Lambeau on the team for a while, even though he was injured. I think they wanted him to see a sports psychologist or whatever. All of that stuff was a front. At this time, Lambeau's already complaining to the team. Lambeau's already talked to the council on the team. Lambeau, in hindsight, we all know this. Lambeau and Urban had a little bit of a dust up verbally the day after this happened. And therefore, when you look back, none of it was true. None of the stuff was true about how he's the hardest worker. He might have been a hard worker, but how he's one of my favorites. Well, it was all, this was almost like an abusive parent that smiles around everyone, but then you look at the kid and the kid's like really sad and nobody really knows what's going on. That's what it was like. Publicly saying and doing one thing, privately doing something else, just being a nightmare and a terror for people. So Urban ended up getting fired with cause. Now he's fighting Shah Khan about the money and that he says that he's old. And Shah ain't gonna pay him. He fired him for cause. In fact, Shah Khan has now come out just a couple of weeks ago and was like really just bashing Urban, in my opinion, saying, how could you have that kind of a work environment and work for those type of people? He was, in my opinion, he was just totally tricked and totally fooled by Urban Meyer, the head coach. And you can't knock him for being angry. So when I said that this lawsuit could possibly help Jacksonville, here's what I mean. Josh Lambeau ain't necessarily mad at Urban Meyer or the Jaguars organization. Josh Lambeau wants his money because he believes that he was mistreated while he was here when Urban Meyer was the head coach. And he's probably right. And he's probably going to get paid. And in the process of probably getting paid, it's unlikely that anybody's going to, from the Jaguars, is going to deny that the things that Josh Lambeau said about Urban Meyer was correct. Now, you might get a situation where they'll go, injuries had something to do with it. You know, we can do an injury settlement. You were hurt. We had to get another guy to kick. He played well, so we decided not to keep you and allow you to move on. They may say that's not why you lost your job. But in my opinion, Urban Meyer's activity that has been documented and talked about the workplace is a fact. It's an undeniable fact. And even if it's not a fact, the Jaguars have stated that they think it's a fact, which is why he was canned in the first place. The reason why I think it helps them is because they have to pay him $3.5 million because of workplace, even if they settle it. They can then turn around and use that and say, this is why we fired him, because he was mistreating people and we've had to pay people for it. I'd rather pay Josh Lambeau than pay Urban Meyer. Josh Lambeau, in my opinion, is still going to be a friend of the team. Is still going to be a friend of the city. And this almost is a thing that could actually help the Jacksonville Jaguars in their pursuit of not being able to pay Urban Meyer. It's brilliant, if you ask me. I don't know if anybody was behind the scenes making it happen like that, but I think it's a golden opportunity for Jacksonville to further and show cause of why they should not have to pay Urban Meyer one damn cent. In fact, I counter sue him and ask for all my money back. Probably won't happen. But that's just where we are, and that's just where this all was by the end, by the time last year ended. It was a hot mess. An absolute hot mess. So I'm not trying to be all up in other people's pockets. That's not how I move and how I roll. But I will tell you this. I want Josh to get his money. I want him to get his money. And I want the team to not have to pay Urban Meyer one damn dime. And I am not the guy to be talking about people not getting paid. I'm not going to sit here and do what people do on TV and say Kyrie Irving doesn't deserve. Kyrie Irving doesn't deserve. If it was me and I owned the team, I wouldn't pay him a dollar. I don't roll like that. Because I think that stuff sometimes, you know, we live in a clout chasing society. And if the right person hears a big name talking like that, that may incline them to follow that lead. Only even if it's simply because of the fact that they don't want to have to deal with the backlash that if they go against what somebody on TV says. So I'm not that guy, but I am saying this. We got sick of Urban, and I got sick of trying to tell people what was going on without actually telling people what was going on over there. And Josh Lambeau was one of the people that helped blow the roof off that entire situation so all of those people can move on and move forward, and we can start talking about football, and we can see an advancement of a team on the field instead of worrying about all of the stuff off the field. We thank you for making us your first listen. Make sure you make Locked On NFL your second listen of the day. And do what I always say. Got to take care of each other, man. That's what we're going to do. Did the Jaguars do enough on the offensive line to be great this year? We're going to discuss that tomorrow. We're going to go player by player by player. And then we're going to also put it on the coaches a little bit, because I think one of the reasons that they'll be better is because I just didn't think George Warhop was very good at what he does. So we'll talk about that tomorrow on Friday, and seeing you into the weekend talking about the trenches. Until then, I am Tony Wiggins here with Locked On Jaguars. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you like and subscribe on YouTube and wherever else you get your podcast. Until tomorrow, y'all take care of each other. We'll see you later.